Hey, everybody. Thank you for tuning into the Stuff I Heard podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Peak, and today is episode 278, the, final Mandalorian installment of the Double J Jedi talk for season two. We have Josh Treadway here. Say hey, Josh.
Hey, Josh.
So,
that was for Greg.
I know. He's out there going, which Josh? It doesn't matter. That's why you have friends named Josh, because you can just go Josh, and they go, what? That's sort of a weird, happy coincidence for him. So anyway.
It was unhappy when we had the apartment, though, and we had a landline.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, I want to jump right into it, okay? So right off the bat.
Wow.
Right off the bat, Mandalorian, the final episode of season two, I guess you'd call it episode 16 in total, we see Luke motherfucking Skywalker. And what was really cool.
Did you know it was Luke as soon as you saw the X-Wing?
When I saw the X-Wing, that was my first thought was Luke. And I thought, is this the right timeline? And like my brain started doing math real quick. And I was like, this is his Jedi Order time. Like, this would be after the Empire fell. Yeah. Okay. So maybe. And then all of a sudden, the dark figure with the hood, and I was like, and then the green lightsaber came out, and I was like, it's I was so excited.
I think the black glove is what gave it away to me.
That too. I watched it in here in the podcast room, and my wife was in the office. And when I got done watching it, like I went in there, and I said, I'm sorry, was that too loud? She was like, what is going on? And I was like, I'm not telling you, but you're going to be excited. So it's been fun in the house to hear us listen to it at different times, because I watched it later on the weekend with her, and I was super excited. Like, I was shaking in the chair, and she was, would you stop? And I'm like, look, you know? And so, my stepson was watching it like a couple of days later. He was upstairs, and we could hear him through the walls. It's Luke. Oh man. So lots of very interesting things here in the final episode of season two. We got to see, I thought that was a facial swap thing so that they could make him look like it, but apparently it was an actor that just happens to look like him, and they used Mark Hamill's voice dubbed over it so that it kind of matched up.
I had a friend I was talking to yesterday actually about that as well. He still feels that there was an actor, but it was a little bit of CGI on the face.
I don't think so. What I read was this actor, his name is Max Lloyd-Jones. He was the kid in Sandlot that had the baseball, and he's like, who's Baby Ruth? Remember that kid?
Yeah, I remember that kid.
Okay, that kid grew up, and he apparently was in, if you IMDb him, his name again is Max Lloyd, L-L-O-Y-D, Jones. He's got a hyphenated last name. He's been in iZombie. He's done a lot of different TV shows and movies and stuff like that over the years, but he just happens to look really similar to Mark Hamill when he was young. And so he gets to play Luke Skywalker now. And I've read a lot here recently where they're going to have a spinoff Luke Skywalker show, and he's going to be the star of the show.
I saw a little small snip on that.
Yeah, there was a lot of like rumor and talk about it. And there was, I guess Luke has been used in different animated shows here and there, and they've contemplated whether or not those actors would play him, but they don't look like him. Whereas this guy looks like him, and kind of like his natural speaking voice sort of sounds like a young Luke Skywalker. So there's like, there is that conversation of, okay, if we do this live action show, do we just go with his voice? Because it'd be a lot easier just to go with his voice and have Mark Hamill dub everything. And that's kind of what I think they're going to do. But for this, I mean, it was kind of cool to see him come out and be able to talk. And again, my first thought was, boy, they really did that facial swap stuff really well. I mean, because it definitely sounds just like him. And if it's one of those Carrie Fisher type things where they you know, had an actor, you know, and they just kind of digital mapped him over it. I mean, that's possible. I know it's possible, but still, very cool moment. You get to see Luke come in like a total badass Jedi and just slay everything. I mean,
every dark trooper just waylaid.
So one of the things that came up in conversation, which I kind of want to talk to you about, was, you know, we've heard over and over again that Beskar steel is like the toughest armor that there is. And if you have pure Beskar, you can deflect lightsabers. Like, not only laser blasts, but lightsabers. So we get to see Din Djarin as the Mandalorian fight against the one dark saber where he's shooting it away and things are bouncing right off of him, having no effect. And I'm going, like, Dolores goes, do they have Beskar steel? Now, I had read online where it was believed that Moff Gideon had gotten all of that Mandalorian armor from the planet, you know, in the season one, at the end of season one, where they're on the underground layer and they have all that Mandalorian stuff just laying there, that it was believed that he gathered up all of that material and made these things out of it. But then you get to see a moment where, you know, Luke comes into the play and he slices through him with no problem. Now, there's two thoughts here. Okay, number one, maybe it wasn't pure Beskar steel. Maybe it was something that was like a mixture.
And that's my thought process.
They were trying to spread it out because they had so many dark troopers to build.
Well, the thing is okay, if you go back to the idea, and this is just my thought, but if you go back to the idea that he took all that from the underground Mandalorians, when he came in with the true Beskar steel, they were like, wow. So I'm thinking that they had been using something like Beskar steel, but not the pure.
Yeah.
And so that's probably what he did take from them, and that's what he did use with the Dark Troopers. So it did actually kind of give some protection from most, you know, weapons.
I think that's the difference. Honestly, I feel that's the difference between Mando and the other Mandalorians. I think his armor is pure and theirs is not. Like, theirs is close to it, but it's not pure.
Right.
That's why they're all like, you know, they all mention something about the fact that his armor is pure Beskar. Like, oh, nice outfit.
And that actually leads to one of the things I wanted to ask you about. So did you notice that when he was fighting Moff Gideon, Moff Gideon with the Darksaber, every time it would touch the Beskar spear, the spear would heat up whenever they held it there for a while. But when it touched his armor, it didn't heat up.
Hmm.
Now, I didn't touch it but one time really long to the point where it should have heated up the armor. So I'm wondering if the Beskar, I mean, it's a Beskar steel rod, but yeah. I'm wondering if it's not pure as well.
Or it's just an engineering thing where it's the length of it versus the heat in one spot and the diameter versus the compoundness of a plated armor.
It could be that, but I didn't notice. I want to know if you noticed it as well, because that's one thing I actually noticed.
I did notice that. I also noticed that Moff Gideon doesn't have any force powers. Like, he's just a dude. He just happens to be wearing what looks like a Darth Vader type cloak and chest plate, but he's just a guy. Like, he is still,
I think he's unable. Super intelligent.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's super intelligent.
Well, and he's always played that kind of character. I mean, in Breaking Bad, we saw him as this, you know, criminal mastermind guy that was just, you know, way ahead of everybody else. He's been in several disaster type shows of end of the world type thing where he's like the criminal mastermind of whatever's going on. So, I mean, they always say that you portray something that's similar to your normal like habits. That's why Jeffrey Wright always plays like a super intelligent, you know, guy in different movies, you know, and in Westworld, he's the professor. He's the, you know, the guy figuring out how to fix everything. And this guy's kind of similar, but no force powers. Like, he seemed at awe with Grogu. We call him Baby Yoda. But also, if the armor was Beskar steel, maybe the difference is the fact that Luke is a Jedi Knight.
Well, that's the other thing that you should
and
possibly say.
The lightsaber is the Jedi Knight tool, and maybe because he's wielding it, he has more power over cutting through stuff like that. Because he cut through those robots like it was butter. I mean, he was just he even got that one guy and just closed his fist, and it crunched up like a tin can. I was like, oh, that's so cool.
But now that's also that's a dark power.
Yeah. Yeah, which, I mean, he's got a little darkness in him. Let's face it, his dad is Anakin Skywalker. You know.
Is he the right one to train Grogu, who already has tendencies toward the dark side as well?
Yes. Now, I like the fan photo thing that you posted today of this morning.
The Mandalorian Baby Yoda?
Yeah, the Grogu with the Mandalorian armor on. The only thing, like, someone drew that, obviously, but the only thing that I think is wrong out of the whole picture, it looks great. Whoever drew that is really talented. But the only thing I picked out right away that I was like, oh, they screwed up on that part, is on his belt buckle, it's the Boba Fett coat of arms where it should have been, what's his name? Din Djarin. It should have been
That's a Mandalorian icon.
Oh, it's not his creed or whatever?
That's the Mandalorian icon.
Okay. Okay. I thought that was supposed to be like Boba Fett's like coat of arms or whatever.
No, it's a Mandalorian coat of arms, basically.
Okay. Still, cool picture. I mean, whoever drew it is really, really talented.
Okay, so we have to talk about the final 4 minutes.
Okay, before we go there.
Sorry. I've been waiting all my life for this.
There's an interesting conversation that happens during this episode where the Darksaber is contemplated over who's supposed to wield it. And Moff Gideon is sort of tickled at the fact that he was bested by Din Djarin, and Bo-Katan, he knows, wants power over the Darksaber because there's a story. Like he said, the lightsaber has no power. It's the story that has the power. And you have to defeat the person in combat in order to honestly wield that lightsaber. And my wife was like real confused. She was like, I don't understand. Why is that a big deal? And I was like, well, her bloodline is the bloodline that's supposed to be in control of this. And with that, we have her sister who is going to be part of this as well. At some point, you and I have discussed that Sabine Wren is going to come into this at some point. And she is the same bloodline, but also she doesn't want to rule Mandalore where her sister Bo-Katan does. Her sister has been, as Moff Gideon says, a pretender, because she's not held the Darksaber. And that's the way sort of her people have looked at it too. And because Moff Gideon was defeated by Din Djarin, he then holds the Darksaber. He tries to give it to her and she's like, I can't accept it. Like, and he's excited. He's like, you don't even know.
A nice little chuckle on that one.
It's like he chose to battle him because he knew, okay, one way or another, like if I defeat you, great, then I don't have to worry about you. But if I lose to you, then great. Now Bo-Katan's going to be your enemy and I can survive. And that's kind of what happened. I mean, as soon as he goes, you're not going to kill me, he's like, oh, this is interesting. Like he gets to watch you play.
Yeah.
I mean, this is ultimately like his episode. Like people don't really realize it because they're so geeking out about Luke Skywalker, which I was too. But this is really Moff Gideon's sort of pinnacle moment of power. And it's not really discussed. Like none of that was really discussed in that process. But I thought this is something that Treadway will get and he and I can have a cool conversation about it. Because I knew right away you were probably thinking the same thing. Well, wait, what just happened? Like, you know.
Oh yeah, no. There was definitely a moment when they got to the bridge and he wasn't there. I'm like, oh, I think I got an idea what's going to happen here.
Yeah, and I was real worried that Moff Gideon was going to actually shoot Grogu. I mean, because you could kind of see him leaning towards that where he had the gun underneath his leg. He's looking over, and then there's a moment where he shoots at him, but it looks like Din Djarin like blocks it. But I was thinking the whole time, did he really shoot him? Like, is that going to be how this ends? Because I had seen online people already going, I can't stop crying. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, you know, so I went to watch the show and I was like, the baby better not die. You know, my wife made a comment. She goes, for the average fan watching this, they're not watching this because it's a cool Star Wars show. They're watching this because the baby's so adorable.
Right. And you made that last week. Yeah. And here's the thing. I think season 3 is going to be a step away from the kid.
I do too. I think this is going to have more to do with Mandalore,
right.
And more conversations between Bo-Katan and possibly Sabine Wren. Now, I read some fan stuff online today that gave out a possible appearance of Sabine Wren, even though we didn't realize it. The Imperial officer that's serving underneath Moff Gideon, who has the speaking role in many of the episodes this year, she has the dark hair and the little thing on, you know, mm-hmm. And she reports to him that the tracking device was put on the Razor Crest. A lot of people are saying that might be Sabine Wren in some type of she's impersonating an officer to get closer to try and get the Darksaber. Like that was part of the whole plan. And it's like, you know, Favreau has a history of using characters that you don't normally see coming and then revealing themselves later. I mean, you and I mentioned the fact that he never wastes talent. Like if he's got somebody sitting around, and this girl apparently has done a lot of different movies and sci-fi stuff in the past. So, I mean, she doesn't exactly look the part from what I thought Sabine Wren would look like. But it would be very interesting if that was a storyline.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I disagree with that, but it would be interesting if that's a storyline. And I agree with you. It definitely does a go along with the character that was played kind of on Rebels of what she would be in a real life, you know.
Yeah, because in Rebels, she's more waifish looking. I mean, very, very tiny. But also, like, you know, Munitions Destroyer. I mean.
Pfft. Oh, just. she was Basher.
In that scene where they rush, where in Mandalorian, where they rush the what do you call it, the control area, and they start shooting up the place and killing everybody, I don't see her in that scene. Like, she's not there. So maybe she bounced. Maybe she, like, snuck out. Maybe she was like, oh, my sister might see me, and, like, got out of there before anything happened.
It's a possibility.
Yeah. So, okay. There's so much in this episode that I want to talk about, but we missed something from last week's episode. We missed the fact that we didn't discuss how Boba Fett's armor suddenly got a new paint job and was miraculously repaired in ways that we didn't think it would come around to be repaired. I mean, that was sort of the telltale sign of when you saw his armor, that it was so gnarled up from battle wear, and he gets a paint job in last week's episode with Bill Burr. I mean, you're like, oh, is that new green? That's all new colors and stuff. And he's repaired the scratches, and, you know, and of course I read some fan, you know, comments on it saying that at the time Boba Fett was like the most prominent bounty hunter in this galaxy. And it's not unheard of that he would have spent the money on his armor to repair it as soon as he got a hold of it again.
I could easily see that. I mean, that's his pride and joy. I mean, yeah. Outside of Slave One.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is a lot bigger than I actually originally thought it was.
I mean, I've got the Lego over here. I can show you how big it is.
I understand that. You know, the original movies never really portrayed it as a very large ship. But right. in this last episode, when he comes over the top of the cruiser that's got the scientists in it, it's very, very large.
Well, and they're doing like real scale model, like, equilibrium, because you have to have space for their cabin, and you have to have space for what they're carrying. So they actually, in this, I think they did a really good job of portraying what it actually is supposed to look like in scale, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And I get it. I'm just saying that, like, I never really understood the actual size of the ship until I saw the episode today, or the last episode, and realized, you know, okay, I mean, it makes sense it would be that big, but yeah. I just... honestly, never really crossed my mind that it was that big.
Yeah. Well, we get to see an extension basically of his character with the ship. And there is that scene that we didn't discuss last week where he got to use the sonic bomb to destroy several TIE fighters at one time, where it basically went and like just disintegrated them in all directions. And we got to see that in use in the, what was it, the second movie of the prequels, where Obi-Wan Kenobi's after him and he uses it to try and get away. I mean, it's not Boba Fett, it's his dad, Jango Fett at the time, but Obi-Wan is chasing him through the asteroid field trying to figure out, you know, who he is, and he uses several of those sonic boom type things to destroy asteroids around him to try and squish Obi-Wan, because, like, you know, they're adversaries at the time. But you get to see that again on a scale that's new to a lot of people who haven't seen any of the Star Wars stuff. I mean, this was pretty impressive in that episode.
It's right. True. I, you know, something that we understand, but yeah, you're right. For the non avid Star Wars fan who started watching this because of the Baby Yoda.
Yeah.
That would be something they had never seen before. And that would be, it would be mind blowing.
A touching moment for me, I don't know if it was for you, was R2-D2. Having sort of a moment there with Grogu. I mean, we all know that R2-D2 can speak in languages that the people, all the characters seem to understand, but we have no idea whatever it's saying. But they carry on conversations with droids all the time, and you're like, how does it know? Of course, it makes you wonder if there's a conversation going on there between Grogu and him at the end, where there's the moment R2 leans towards him to talk to him, like see eye to eye to him. I'm like, oh, that's so cool. Like, you know, just, it was very adorable. But also, there is that moment where I kind of want to, you know, elbow young me and go, R2 is the big hero in all this, by the way. I don't know if you know this.
I mean, he's the one that stole he's the one that got the plans to the rebels.
He's been in every episode, every thing that you think is happening, he's always been in the background doing things. I mean, R2's kind of a real hero in all of this. I mean, and, you know, rest in peace, the actor who played him. I mean, I know there a lot of people think it was just a thing being told around, but there was a guy inside of that suit making it do things.
Yeah, so. we lost him, and we lost the original Boba.
Yeah.
Just recently.
I had his name written down somewhere.
Jeremy. Oh, you're talking about
R2. Bollock. Jeremy Bollock.
Yeah.
Yeah, 75 years old. I had no idea. I didn't know who the guy was. I mean, I had to look it up. I was like, really? Oh, okay. I mean, it's just one of those things where you never pay attention to it until after the fact. And then you're like, I guess I should have done some homework. Thank you, Internet, for having all of information. Okay, so I know you're geeking out and I'm geeking out too. I watched the final 4 minutes after the credits. It was one of those things where I watched the show and then when it ended, I like hit pause for a second so I could just take a breath. I was like, and I looked and I was like, there's 7 minutes left. Credits don't last 7 minutes. And so I hit fast forward and it opens to Tatooine. And I'm like, Tatooine, what's going on in Tatooine? Cause like immediately you see the two suns, you see the desert planet. And then it's Jabba's lair. And you see that weird guy with the wraparound neck goiter thing that's sitting on Jabba's throne. And you're like, okay, so this is after Empire. So that dude, his advisor at the time during the Empire Strikes Back, or not the Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, he took over the role of being the head bounty hunter, like mafia guy.
He's the mob boss.
The mob boss, yeah. Because the Fetts were mobsters. I mean,
the Hunts.
For those who don't know, they were
the Hutts.
The Hutts. Yeah, they were mobsters. If you go back and watch the animated series, the Hutts are always mobsters. I mean, they're always in control of things. They're always pulling at strings, trying to make things happen and trying to make a buck. I mean, because face it, they're just giant lizard looking things. But this guy with a huge neck goiter wraparound penis thing, I don't know what you call it. it looks absurd. He's sitting on the throne and he's gained a lot of weight because he's been sitting around. And he has a Twi'lek that's attached by a chain. The Twi'lek slave girl is supposed to dance. She danced in the Empire Strikes Back.
Same as Jabba.
Or not Empire, Return of the Jedi.
Return.
Yeah. So you get to see immediately gangbusters, guns blazing, people start dying right and left, and in walks Boba. And you're like, what's going on here? And not a word is spoken. They just immediately walk up. And his assassin sharpshooter, she immediately grabs her a nice, cool, nice drink to have. And he sits on the throne and sits his gun there and kicks back like, yeah, that's right.
Yep. This is my house.
Yeah. I mean, cause he was doing a job for Jabba whenever he got eaten up by the Sarlacc pit. And it was assumed that because he brought in Han Solo in the Carbonite, he was paid well for it because there was that moment interaction between him and Darth Vader where they're hauling away Han in frozen in carbonite. And he says, don't worry, the Empire will pay you well as well. I mean, it was kind of they paid you to collect him, but also we'll make sure you're compensated as well. Cause this was sort of a risky thing that he did at the time. I mean, Luke was the up and coming Jedi who was going to destroy Darth Vader. And I'll be honest, Anakin probably as Darth Vader was a little terrified of the fact that he had to fight a son and, you know, knowing the force of the power that he had, I mean, Anakin was supposed to be the most powerful Jedi at the time before he turned to the dark side, but he'd been bested in battle by Obi-Wan and been replaced multiple times of his organic self into robot self. So there had to be a part of him in that moment where he thought, wow, I'm like, I got to face off against my kid and my kid may have my power. Like there had to be legitimate fear. So Boba was probably played really well. He probably delivered Han to my tongue got twisted. He delivered Han to the Hutts and, you know, is hanging around there when all of a sudden Luke busts in and starts shooting up the place. And then you got to deal with Han Solo being reanimated. And then there's Princess Leia and you got Lando Calrissian, which nobody mentions the fact that he just happens to sneak in there incognito and ruin everybody's day, saving the day. But you got to imagine that if he had any money, like his ship was landed there, his stuff was there. He got eaten by the Sarlacc pit. The Hutts probably just took his crap and was like, yep, he didn't need that anymore. So him coming back and taking over, I think, is going to be part of that story. I'm wondering, because they tease it as the Book of Fett coming next year, I'm wondering if they're going to go back.
Possibility.
Because they're going to have to tell you, they're going to have to explain to the casual watcher what happened.
So they'll start with the whole idea of him becoming a bounty hunter from being Jango's son.
So they may show some of the youth version of him.
Some of the youth stuff, I think, maybe.
Which, I mean, they showed that in, I think it was in Clone Wars, the animated series, where they showed him as a youth, kind of up to no good, causing trouble, really hating Jedis because they killed his dad. We get it. Mace Windu decapitated Jango Fett. For those who hadn't seen it, spoiler alert.
Really? Yeah.
Soft spot, you know, armor, soft spot.
Okay, so I had a little flaws here and there, but you know.
Well, you know, he also didn't know Mace Windu was Samuel L. Jackson. And his wallet said bad motherfucker on it. So too soon? Sorry.
never too soon for a Samuel L. Jackson reference.
Oh goodness. I got myself a little tickled there. Oh, I just wanted his lightsaber to have BMF written on the side. Which lightsaber is yours? The one with BMF on it. Pulp Fiction reference there for folks who don't know. Yeah.
That's got to be the Spaceballs 2 movie version.
Oh, that would be hilarious. Man, if only... I wonder if there's anybody else who thinks on that scale. Like, if anybody else would think...
Well, like Mel Brooks?
Yeah, Mel Brooks had that tongue-in-cheek kind of humor at laughing at yourself and displaying the absurd and just going, hey, isn't this funny? Like, I mean, there are people out there doing that, you know, the Naked Gun group that did the different movies, and Broken Lizard's done that a few times. But I'm just wondering, like, if someone young is out there with that kind of creativity going, hey, let's do a script where we just poke fun at everything that's in movies now or in Star Wars. Like, it could just do a Star Wars space. Like I said, Spaceballs 2. Well,
I had heard rumor that there was a Spaceballs 2 in the works.
Oh, that would be great. I love it.
On a side note real quick, I kind of got a little bit more of an idea why we are all friends after the last episode you had with Mr. Gregory Steele.
Okay.
Because every reference that you guys made, I was like right ahead of you just about. Like when he mentioned Better Off Dead, I was thinking Better Off Dead. When you mentioned Gross Point Blank, I was already thinking Gross Point Blank. And I'm like, okay, so I don't have as much of like the music thing because you guys sing the karaoke, like you and Josh and Greg. But the movies, we're right there on the, I mean, we've got the same wavelength, the same funny bone or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Because I agree with every single thing that you guys were saying.
Yeah, we had fun doing that. he kind of hit me up out of the blue and he's like, hey, let's do a podcast. And I was like, okay. I was like, when are you going to do yours? He goes, eh. I'm gonna do it. I was like, what? He goes, I don't have the passion to do it as often as I should. He goes, because I get people saying they want to hear more, but he goes, I just don't. You know, and so we started talking about that book, you know, the War of Art, and how if you want to achieve something, you have to basically go to battle every day and say, I'm going to do this to create. You the creator, you don't. And so, you know, he's like, yeah, I like creating, but it's not like my thing. It's not something I have to do it. And he goes, but you, on the other hand, are that kind of person. He goes, so I'll just be on yours. And I was like, okay. Whatever.
And I called him that day because he sent me the same gift as he sent you.
Oh yeah, we didn't talk about that yet.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. But so I called him just to thank him for the gift and, you know, see how he was doing. And I told him, unfortunately, I was on my way to work. And he's like, oh man, he's like, I'm just getting ready to call Peak and we're going to do a podcast. We're hoping maybe pull you in. So I knew the podcast was coming. And then when I got home, I was like, okay, let's listen to it because it popped up on the, and literally, like I said, I it it wasn't a revelation. Like, I already knew it, but it just every single thing you guys were talking about when you were talking about the movies and things like that, it was like, yeah, that's why we're friends.
Yeah. My only regret of the whole podcast was talking about COVID as long as we did.
And I could tell.
I was like, we went down a dark hole really fast.
you hit that dead horse one too many times, and all of a sudden you were like, he's dead. Let's leave it alone.
Yeah. So to the gift, out of the blue, I get a text message from him saying, what's your address? And I'm like, bitch, you don't have my address. I mean, Jesus, all these years you've been to my house. You've texted me, I don't know, 20 times. What's your address?
I'm sure it's in a thread somewhere. He just didn't want to look it up.
I was like, you can save this in your phone. He goes, for real? I was like, what did you just say, for real? Like, so anyway, I sent him my address, and I thought about it after I sent it. I thought, I bet he's going to send out Christmas cards. And I was like,
that's what I was thinking as well.
I'm getting Christmas. I'm not giving Christmas cards out anymore. I can't afford Christmas cards. I mean, I'm at that point. So, I was really surprised to see a box arrive at my doorstep, and I figured it was something Dolores ordered for Jackson, for my grandson. And I was like, hey, you got a thing on the front doorstep. She's like, okay. So the next thing I know, I was doing something in here, playing around with trying to figure out OBS software, and I walk out, and there's the box, and it's gift wrapped, and it's got from Greg to Josh. I was like, what? I was like, he sent me a present? So I took a picture of it, and I put it underneath the tree. And I was like, cool, I got something to open on Christmas. So I sat it on the tree, and I went in there, and I told my wife, I was like, hey, I got a present from Greg. She's like, really? She goes, I know. I opened the box. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm just saying it out loud. And she's like, so he texts me right back. He says, you don't have to wait for Christmas. Go ahead and open it. And I was like, okay, I don't mind if I do, you know? So I start pulling it off, and I start snapping photos to send to him. I'm like, dude. And so I got it open, and I'm like, all right, there's a thing on the back for batteries. I didn't even read what it was. I was just geeking out about it. And I was like, this is so cool. This is going on the wall. And I opened it up and saw that it needed batteries. I'm like, batteries for what? And I'm like, what is this? And I had to turn the box around and read it again. It's a nightlight.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
His visor lights up red.
His visor lights up.
And his little scope thing lights up. And it's so cool looking. It's got a remote control, although you got to get like this close to it to get it to turn on. But okay, it's adorable. I mean, I put it in the podcast room so I can look at it. Actually, where I'm sitting, if I look towards the closet, I got it above the And They Lived Happily Forever sign. Oh. With the Mickey Mouse ears. So, and my wife walked in here. She goes, I kind of dig where it's at. I was like, well, good, because that's where it's going to be.
That's where it's going to be.
That's where the nails are. I mean.
Well, I haven't put mine up yet. I left it in the box.
I don't know what the wall is behind you, but it would look really cool right there.
Yeah, that won't be happening, unfortunately.
I thought it would look cool right here, but I thought, no, the way I bounce around, I would hit the thing, you know. And
well, if you went above your head, like right here, it would work.
I stretch your arms.
Okay, I don't see you. I see you do a lot of this, but I don't really see you go here that much.
Yeah, I thought if I put it where I can actually, I won't actually see it that often if I put it behind me. But if I put it across the room, it's directly where I'm looking, so it's right there. So thank you, Greg, for the kind thought.
Yeah, thank you, Greg.
I actually dig it.
I thought it was a helmet to start because I was like, oh my god, because a few years ago, my friend Mika, you met Mika in New York when we were there for Rodney's wedding.
Yeah.
He bought me the actual, it was basically the same thing, but it was the actual replica helmet. And so I thought it was another replica helmet. And then I looked at it and realized it was a nightlight. I'm like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So I got the nightlight.
Mika's one of those interesting people that I made Facebook friends with during the wedding. And he's lived quite an interesting life since then. He got married. He's been running marathons. He's traveling the world. I'm like, dude,
not Mika. Yeah. You're talking about that's a different one. That's when that was one of the guys that was in the wedding. I'm talking about Mika, my friend that lived in New York.
Mika.
No. You're talking about that. That's one of the guys that was one of the family members of Anuja.
Okay.
I'm talking about Mika, my friend that I met when I lived in New York the first time. And then he came and got me. We went downstairs to the restaurant while you guys were taking a nap between the rehearsal dinner.
So it's like having three friends named Josh. So
yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
But no, you're right. I'm Facebook friends with that guy, Mika, as well.
Yeah.
But no, this is Mika, M-I-C-H-A.
Okay. All right. Well, I still don't have a wearable one, but that doesn't mean it's not going to happen at some point. But Still kind of cool. I think if I actually got a helmet, I'd actually have to do a podcast with the helmet on because I'm a dork.
I actually thought about doing it because of the Book of Boba. I thought about wearing the mask today, but.
Well, you know, I'm doing more and more of these podcasts. This is number 278 of Stuff I Heard. And one of the things that I liked about Joe Rogan was whenever he did a weird numbered podcast, he would have Duncan Trussell on because they're like really good friends and they would dress up. And I thought, wow, if I ever get to some crazy number like 666 or whatever crazy number is, like if I get to 300, maybe we dress up then. I don't know.
Dress up like 300.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I mean,
Roman and Greek garb.
Rogan and Trussell dressed up for several episodes. I think for episode 1313, he was in like a astronaut's outfit, and Duncan Trussell was dressed up in a full ghillie suit, and he wore the mask and everything. This is during COVID,
and he talked through the ghillie suit the entire time, so it sounded kind of like this.
And I was like, "This is so stupid," and I watched every minute. I was like, "I'm so doing that," like.
See, if it was 1313, I'd want to dress up like one of the Addams Family, but nobody would get the reference.
Hey, that's kind of cool. I'd have to shave my head, though.
Wait, I'm Fester, for sure.
Oh, okay, you could be Fester. I'd be Cousin It. I'd have to get like a wig on.
You have to get a little bit more hair on you.
Yeah, I'm not Gomez. I'm a little too hefty for Gomez.
You could be Lurch.
I'm too dark-skinned for that.
You rain.
And too short. Get my brother to play Lurch. He kind of looks like he could play Lurch.
Yeah, he can play Lurch, absolutely.
Yeah. A little bit of face paint. He could pull off a Lurch. But no, I mean, we did something similar to that. I mean, not dressing up, but on the, what was it, the 1 year anniversary, we did the 5 hour podcast.
Was that the 1 year or 2 year anniversary?
Maybe it was the 2 year anniversary.
2 year anniversary, I thought.
Yeah, because the 1 year I was still figuring out how to use all this crap.
And yeah, I'm pretty sure it was the two year was
this summer where Zoom had come out. Yeah. Okay. So the 2 year anniversary.
We and did the five hour podcast where things got a little crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't remember what we said, but apparently people enjoyed it.
Thin wings.
People were enjoying it. They were like, I love the episode. I'm like, what did we talk about? I'm like, it's like a magic act. I'm like, what happened?
and we had a king sighting.
We did have a king sighting. That's right. Yeah. Those are rare, but you have to kind of, you have to harness them and cherish them and be like, he was there. I promise.
Like a special bird watching episode.
Like a special bird watching. Look, a cockatoo.
The rare red-breasted robin.
Red-breasted
Rodney. Rodney. It's the red-breasted Rodney.
Okay, so Grogu has gone off with Luke to the Jedi Order.
Okay, and now real quickly, I saw a thread from Greg and his friend Cade. Mando didn't ask anything. He doesn't know how's he going to find. I mean, we all know that there's communication in the universe, but the universe is a very large place.
They've got Spacebook.
Okay. he's friends with Luke on Facebook now.
They just log on to Facebook, you know, and this guy named Mark Zoidberg, he runs it, you know. Yeah. Well, he doesn't seem to have a problem finding anything he wants anyway. So I don't think that it's going to be a problem for him to find him eventually. But this does give us a break, which is a necessary break, I think, so that we can see Grogu get some powers. Now, my thought is the next time we see Grogu, he's not going to be a Jedi. He's going to be like a Padawan, but he's going to be able to speak. This is my thought. I don't know if what you think.
I got you.
But picture maybe at the end of season 3, we see a Padawan Grogu appear and they're able to communicate for the first time.
Possibly.
Maybe he's there for a moment, but he's like...
It's a teaser.
A teaser at the end of season 3 to go into season 4. Maybe Din Djarin's in need, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, he comes because he has this connection to him. They keep talking about this connection. Maybe he comes to him to save him. Maybe
it's very strong, and that saving comes from the fact that at the end of season three, Bo-Katan turns on him because she wants the Darksaber.
Yeah, I mean, and there's, you know, there's also, you're going to have that conflict next year. I don't know what the storyline is going to be. Of course, if Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau are any part of it, it's going to be well thought out and well planned, and it's going to be done with a council of people. It's not just the two of them sitting around going, what should we do? They're smart enough to go, hey, there's a lot of fans out here that have ideas. Let's kind of listen to them. I mean, that's how Rosario Dawson got to play Ahsoka Tano to start with, is she tweeted out. She's like, I wouldn't mind playing Ahsoka. And we're like, yeah. Like, yeah. Fans tweeted it like crazy, and they were like, well, of course that's a good fit. Look at her. She looks like her. I mean, it was one of those natural fit things, but it's sort of that moment where, as a writer, I'm sure they're sitting around going, I'm not the smartest person, but let's all talk about it and see if I'm missing anything. So they're going to have a team of people sitting around talking about it, and they're all going to write it together.
Oh yeah, of course. I think they do that already.
And now that we've seen Carl Weathers be a director of an episode, I think you're going to see more of him directing next year.
I think we're going to see more Bill Burr as well.
I think so as well. He's not done.
I think once they got Moff Gideon's ship, he's going to come back because he has all the knowledge of the protocols and all the, you know, the codes and things of that nature. I think he's going to be coming back to basically help run that ship.
Not only that, but there's a camaraderie between him and Din Djarin now, especially when it was a time where he didn't show his face. We didn't talk about his face. He takes the helmet off for the kid.
In front of everybody, right. In front of everybody this time. It wasn't just
in front
like,
of everybody. You know, yeah.
I mean, it was, he didn't hesitate.
It wasn't just in a room full of people he was going to kill.
Well, no, I mean, like, I mean, there was almost no hesitation. Like, there was a brief, but not, very little hesitation. He was just like, I got to take it off.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he could tell that the kid wanted to see his face at least once. I mean, without saying it. And it's so adorable. The little hand on the helmet and then the hand on his cheek. I was like, oh, like I could see why people were typing, you know, that they were like, oh, such a tearful moment. And then the kid leaves. Oh,
yeah,
I get it. But also, like, it's necessary. Like, every part of this is necessary. A lot of folks want, you know, let's get the band back together and keep playing. Well, after a while, it's just sort of sad to see the Rolling Stones out there. I mean, you're just like, all right, you guys are kind of doing it. You can beat a dead horse. So let the kid grow up. Let the kid get some powers. Let's have that be part of Luke's story as a separate thing. I mean, they'll probably show that in Luke's spinoff.
And that's probably why they chose, because like when they released all the stuff they were going to do, they didn't mention that.
Yeah. So
I think they left that out on purpose.
Yeah.
So we didn't know that it was Luke, because there was all kinds of people, especially on some of the fan sites, thinking that maybe that was going to be an appearance of Mara Jade.
Now, thank goodness there's Twitter out there, because Mark Hamill posted later that day, anybody see anything good on TV today? And I was like, that is hilarious. And then later on that night, he posted, the real prize winner here is everyone who kept their mouth shut for a year knowing this was coming.
Yeah, that's got to be pretty amazing, because
they shoot this stuff.
There's so many links. There's so many leaks of things like this. I mean, there has to have been, but the fact that they kept it so just under the radar.
And there's so many moving parts attached to him being there. We talked about with the voiceover part, with the actor playing the part, with all the other actors knowing this was coming, with all the writers, with all the special effects guys. Everybody kept their mouth shut. That's the most amazing part.
You even got like, you know, guys on the set that are like there putting like out the food or something. They knew.
Yeah.
They you don't have somebody just slip and no, they didn't.
Craft Services is like, hey, round up the wagons here. We ain't saying nothing. So
kudos to everybody on that one. That
yeah, great. We love the secrets. Thank you for keeping up the secrets. You know, and they did a good job the entire season, because you and I hinted at we hoped that Rosario Dawson was gonna be Ahsoka, but no one said nothing. Like, everybody was closed mouthed. Everybody just let it happen. Everybody let the excitement happen. So thank you to everybody out there who did that. If you're listening to my podcast right now and you're going, yeah, but you just spoiled this whole episode that I haven't watched yet. Hey, at the beginning of this episode, I told you what we're talking about, and I said spoiler alert. So it's titled.
Had 3 days. Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You had 3 days.
Listen, in December,
It's not like we jumped on a podcast on Friday morning right after we both watched it. And then, you know,
it's December 2020. If you haven't seen it, I mean, come on, that's on you. Okay. Just saying. But if you've seen it right now, you're probably right along with us and going, this is so fun. Now, our buddy Greg, I did a podcast with him and he said, I'm not as much into Star Wars as you guys. And I listened to that last couple episodes that you and Josh did, and I was lost. He goes, there's a lot of it I knew, but a lot of it I didn't know. And I was just like, yeah, I have no idea what they're talking about. And I'm sure that if anybody's listening to me right now who's just a fan of us and they don't know Star Wars stuff, they're like, yeah, I don't know. But if you're watching The Mandalorian, and this is the first time you've ever been introduced to the Star Wars environment, and maybe it was because of Baby Yoda, the little Grogu character. Look, my mom got me a Pez.
I saw your Pez on the other, yeah.
It's still crappy candy, but it's a cute little thing. maybe this is their first time dipping their foot into the pool, which is Star Wars. The question that I have is, and it wasn't my question. It was actually a question that was raised by my stepson. He goes, my little boy, Jackson, is 4. He's like, he wants to know who Luke is. Do I start at episode 1, the prequels, or do I start at what's considered episode 4, which is where the whole story started in 1977. And I was like, you know, I thought about it for a while and I said, I think if you start off on the story that everybody knows with Luke and right away you're going to see who Yoda is, then you may be surprised whenever you see Darth Vader reveal himself as his father. And then maybe going backwards would be okay. And then I thought about it for like another day or two. And I went back to him and I said, I think I'm wrong. He was like, okay. I said, I think if you do start off at episode 1, it would be okay. Because right away, you're going to be amused by all of the, there's lots of colors, there's lots of excitement, there's lots of technology that made the episode look really great for a kid. You get to see the Jar Jar Binks doofy character and go, this character's stupid. But also,
but the kid, like, will love
it. You get to see, yeah, a kid would enjoy that part. Which Lucas, we talked about the fact that Lucas always tried to put some cute element in it to get kids involved. He could then follow the story along, and I don't think it would change how he looks at anything. Like I've had that conversation since then with more people of what's the best way for someone who's never seen any of this. You've seen The Mandalorian and you hear people geeking out about, oh, look, it's Luke Skywalker. And they're like, yeah, okay, well, who's Luke? Is it right to start at episode 1?
All right, so my opinion on this, and I have actually thought about this as well. I envy those people who could watch it from episode 1 all the way straight through chronologically. I personally could never do it again. I would have to, if I started to watch, I would watch 4, 5, and 6 because that's what I was raised on and that's how I feel. Technologically, it makes more sense because when you're watching the prequels and then you go to the originals, people are going, oh, these look kind of crappy.
Yeah,
that would be the only down for me. But for anyone who's just now trying to get into the Star Wars because they've been sucked in now because of Grogu and the Mandalorian and they want to see more of it, I envy you being able to watch it chronologically.
Oh, and if anybody out there is thinking about doing this, just know that Han shot first. Epstein didn't kill himself. And Han shot first. Okay. That's the two things you need to know.
Two things in nature that are absolutely truths.
If that's not a meme, that should be a meme. There's a scene in the first movie that we watched in 1977 where they're sitting down in the cantina and Luke first approaches Han and says, hey, we need passage. And he's like, okay, I'll, you know, meet me at the hangar. And then he gets cornered by Guido. And they sit down at the bar and he's like, listen, I'll get Jabba his money, man. It's coming. And he shoots Guido, like he kills him right away in the bar. And he's like, yeah, there's somebody clean this up. When they redid it later on, they had it so that Guido shot first and then Han shot a second. And it's like, that's not what happened. Like it became an internet like conversation and joke amongst Star Wars fans who were like, well, listen, Han shot first, you know? And so if you go back and watch that, I don't think there's an original version out there where he shot first, or if there is, it's like on the internet where someone has taken the side by side and compared them, which you could probably find on YouTube. I'm sure someone did the research and actually did that, but.
Well, I still have the original VHS.
Just know Han shot first.
Yes. Well, there was the whole meme a couple Christmases ago where it was Merry Christmas, I shot first.
Yeah, I love that.
It was Harrison Ford.
On the Disney Plus animated show, have you seen the Christmas special?
Yes.
Where future him and younger him meet at the same time, and they both shoot. You want to shoot first? Ah, we both do it. Like,
I did. I loved that one. That was probably my favorite part of the whole Christmas special.
I giggled so much watching that episode. So yeah. If anybody hasn't seen it, and you're a super Star Wars nerd like I am, go on to Disney Plus and watch the animated holiday special that they did this year for Lego characters. It's super hilarious. Okay, so if you were to start off on episode one as a, like you're talking about, like, you know, if you haven't seen any of these before.
Fresh, starting fresh, never. Start off never
episode seen. One, do you go 1, 2, 3, and then do you watch the animated Clone Wars? Or do you watch the animated Clone Wars in between 2 and 3?
Actually, here's the thing. I
chronologically, it would be the stuff you need to know in between 2 and 3.
Right, but at the same time, I think the movies versus the shows. I think the shows are something that kind of they're technically standalones.
Yeah,
you can watch them standalone. I do think that the movies though that actually came up like Rogue One needs to be in there before
four
before the New Hope.
Yeah,
you've got Solo before the New Hope. So I mean,
Solo to me is a lot like Empire Strikes Back. It didn't do the success that it wanted, but I think it's one of the better movies.
I think it's one of the best movies that they did of the later releases.
And maybe it was because Ron Howard was a big part of it. I mean, he has a storytelling ability, and he was the director they brought in to sort of save it because they had another director in there and it wasn't working out. And he was like, no, this is a story that needs to be told. And he stepped in and finished it. So, you know, thank you, Ron Howard, for saving Han Solo. I mean, that was a great movie.
I thought it was a fantastic movie.
But if you were not like super into it, to me, watching the live action prequels, 1, 2, 3, I didn't understand the Dooku conversation. I didn't understand why he was such a bad guy. Like, General Grievous looks menacing, Dooku looks menacing, but you're like, why are they? I don't understand the roles. And then when you watch the animated stuff, you're like, oh, there's a lot of interaction here between Dooku and
the Clone Wars did a fantastic job. And there's so much information on those for those people who want to know more about what's behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah,
different characters. Yes, I 100% agree that the Clone Wars should be seen. But it's not necessary to watch the actual movies, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's but there is,
if I mean, even me, like watching it, I was confused as the whole separatist conversation of, you know, why are they, I don't understand who's vying for who. Like, there is that conversation that Dooku has with Obi-Wan when Obi-Wan is up in the shackles, where he's like, you know, you don't understand, you know, your Jedi Master Qui-Gon Jinn would have joined me. He would have been for this. And sort of as you watch it unfurl and you realize that it was all Palpatine manipulating this whole thing, he's sort of right.
Oh yeah, I mean, the Jedi were almost bullies.
Even though it was, yeah, they were all pawns that Palpatine was just playing with. Like he split them against each other. Even Dooku, like, to me, Dooku getting the dark powers or whatever, being the dark side of the Force, he was still ultimately trying to do the right thing. Like, in his plan, what he was doing was, he's like, the Jedi Council is, like, he says it more than once, the Jedi Council is broken, and the things that they're trying to do, they're not doing. And that comes up later when we have the conversation with Ahsoka Tano, where she was like, the Jedi are never meant to be soldiers. Like she kind of has the realization and says it out loud to them for the first time that they hear her. The Jedi were never meant to be soldiers, and we're being forced to be soldiers. Like she was right in leaving. Dooku was right in joining the dark side to try and fight it. And also Obi-Wan was right in fighting against Dooku. I mean, it was all right, but it was all Palpatine pulling the strings.
Right.
And I mean, to me, the animated series did a great job of like laying it all out and saying, okay, look, this is everything.
I mean, if you're going to get the proper way would be, you know, if you really wanted to do it, is you need to find the timeline in Clone Wars and then watch like movie one, then part of Clone Wars, and then movie two, and then part more Clone Wars.
Yeah.
Follow the actual timeline.
Yeah.
But I mean, but we didn't have that opportunity. We saw 4, 5, and 6. We fell in love. It created a whole new world for us. And then we came out with all this other stuff that we got to watch afterwards. And it's great, but I would envy those who get the chance to watch it in that order to yeah. understand, you know, all the different characters and all the different, you know, things that brought all this about.
Yeah.
And so if you're going to do it chronologically, you would have to include Clone Wars, but you would have to do it piece by piece.
Right. Yeah. And I don't think anybody's got that much time or energy. No. I mean,
well, there are a lot of people who are, you know, sitting at home right now and could, but that's, I mean, that's dedication. I mean, that's dedication that even I, as a huge fan, I don't think I have that kind.
I know a guy with an eye injury. He's got time. Too soon?
I wasn't alluding to that, but you know, I knew some people had some time.
Yeah. Well, I've used my time to obsess about something different.
Yes. Great. I saw your video about setting up the, Animal Crossing so you can actually stream it.
Listen, I'm embarrassed and also thrilled that I figured out how to do this.
I wanted to tell you, you know, basically you should probably try to take some online classes for computer networking. You basically just troubleshot the whole thing. I mean, it was amazing to watch. Like I had it in the background while I was cooking. So I was listening and watching, you know, how your brain was going. And you did, you basically were an IT specialist right there. All you did was just troubleshoot the problem every way you possibly could.
Yep.
And then reverse engineered it once you figured it out.
Well, and it should be a lesson in problem solving in general. Like if you have a problem, try something. If it doesn't work, be patient and go, okay, I know this didn't work. Let me try something else. And you have to build off the knowledge that you have. And as you learn things, you go, okay, this is defined. I'm good with that. It didn't work or it did work. Let me build off of it and figure something else out. That's basically problem solving for everything in life. And a lot of people just get frustrated and go, I don't care. I don't do it. And trust me, there was moments where I was so flustered with OBS. I mean, every YouTube video that you watch, everyone's like, all you do is press this button and then it works. And I'm like, no, it doesn't. Like I was in here yelling at my screen. And I was like,
well, they cut out all the stuff that you showed is what it is.
Right.
They did the same thing you did, but they just cut it all out and just said, okay, here it works.
And I could have done that. Like I made a choice to include the hour of me going, I have no idea. And at a certain point I shut the camera off and I just started poking buttons in it and it came on and I was like, what did I just do? And I didn't know what I did. So I made that part of the video as well saying, I don't know what I just did, but somehow I clicked on this button and this now the capture card can be seen by OBS. Now I can have the thing, you know, show.
Now the one moment that I thought we were going to lose you is when you started moving things around on the screen that just like were just like, you know, little boxes.
Yeah.
At one point I thought like, okay, now he's exhausted everything. He's about to say, I'm done with this. No. And I was worried about you for a moment. But I noticed there was at least 25 more minutes of the video left. I'm like, he figures it out.
I'm patient. You know, my wife goes on and on about, you know, you're the most patient person I know. Well, it comes from experience. You know, my dad has an ability to fix any car, like anything with a motor that's 1965 or before, he can fix. I mean, it doesn't matter if the engine's been buried in the ground. It doesn't matter if it's never worked in the last 50 years. He's like, oh, I can get it to work. And usually he can. And I asked him one time, I said, how did you get to where you knew all this stuff? I mean, you have like a knack. And he goes, well, I've just gotten more patient the older I get. And I was like, what? He's like, it's like anything else. He goes, just think about the stuff you've learned over the last year. You learn and you just keep learning. And then when it doesn't work, you go, okay, well, that didn't work. Let me try something else. And he goes, and you just, the longer you do it, the more patient you get. And I guess patience is the biggest key in all that.
Well, you did that with the Rambler when you had it.
Yeah.
You did some stuff like that. Like you got to the point where like, you know, you didn't know what you're doing. You just kind of started just, you know, taking your time and just trying everything.
And I mean, there are YouTube videos out there that will help you figure out a lot of things. But I couldn't find a video that explained what I needed to know. And so I thought I had to make a decision. Do I cut this up and make it a 5-minute video of, and now it works. And everybody's going to be like, but how, or do I include all of this frustration? I mean, there was a good hour of conversation there where I was just, it wasn't an hour, but the whole video is like an hour. But I mean, if anybody's watching it, you can fast forward me being frustrated and get to the part where I figured it out. And I'll even tell you, I don't know what I did there towards the end. I just clicked on something that allowed me to. Then I suddenly I had volume. The freakiest part was when I had this thing on my screen and I started moving my controller around and he was going left was right. And I was like, wait, what just happened? Why is it this way? What? How did I mirror this? This is so stupid. Like I was about to give up then. I was just like, argh! But I had to take a breath and go, okay, I can see it on the screen. So there's got to be a button that lets me swap it back around. There's got to be something I've hit that's somehow mirrored this. So yeah, it's just being patient, learning, taking a breath, approaching it a different way. That's all you got to do. So for those who don't know, I am playing Animal Crossing on Nintendo Switch, and I've learned how to use a $20 video capture card, which everybody had said that you had to have the expensive Elgato capture card, which can be anywhere from $140 to, I think the most expensive one is like $400. You don't need that. It's a $20 little, it's got an HDMI on one side and a USB on the other side, and you can find them on Amazon. Just read the reviews. And just find the one with the best reviews. That's all I did. $20 with shipping. I mean, it was free shipping or whatever because of Amazon Prime. But I just plugged it into the laptop, opened up OBS, and was like, all right, how do I see the video? I started watching YouTube videos. So whatever you want to do in life is sort of a lesson of life of whatever you want to do, figure it out. Like, there's videos to help figure it out. And I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I know that this capture card thing can be used with cameras. And I may actually hook up one of my Canon cameras to it to see like image quality. Right now, this camera that you guys are watching, if you're watching this on YouTube, I'm using the camera that's built into the laptop. I may actually use the Canon camera to be a better camera. I mean, that's a possibility. I don't know. It's something I can play around with. I have time right now because I have an eye injury. So, you know.
I just foresee the 5-hour Animal Crossing podcast with Greg coming. Because at the end of the podcast the other night, he wanted to redo the whole podcast because he wanted to talk for 5 hours about Animal Crossing.
Listen, just as much as you and I've talked about Star Wars, he can talk for 5 hours about Animal Crossing. And I can be right there with him for a lot of it. I mean, I've learned a lot in just a short amount of time by watching him. And every step of this, I've made little short videos and put them on Facebook. And he was like, why aren't you putting this on YouTube? And I'm like, now I got to learn that. I was like... And here we are.
But here's the thing, though. You're probably going to get a lot more hits on your YouTubes with that than the Facebook.
Yeah. Well, the Facebook thing was interesting because I didn't expect to get the kind of traction that it got. I was just like, holy crap, people are really clicking on this. But yeah, so I don't know. It's something to take up. This is the energy I would normally put towards my job. And because of my eye injury, I'm not at my work problem solving and figuring out stuff at work on a regular basis. So it's all day long of me going, what else can I do? What else can I figure out? I mean, you figure I started this podcast while doing this job and built furniture and, you know.
Yeah, you got a lot of energy. So, you know, it's
a lot of wheels turning in my brain that won't shut up and let me sleep. So,
Animal Crossing takes all those and puts them into one thing.
Yeah. Not all of them.
You're not contemplating other things while you're playing, are you?
Yes.
You are?
Yeah, I'm building a shelf for my wife in the closet in there in my brain. And I'm also figuring out how to put some insulation around a door in the attic. And I'm also, I'm building stuff in my head. Air fryers. I'm also reviewing air fryers. I mean,
love air fryers.
We borrowed an air fryer from a friend of ours, and I found this Consumer Reports came out this past week. Thank you, Mom, for the subscription to Consumer Reports. I love it. I've been reading them, and they just happen to have a review on air fryers, and there's a company called GoWise. It's like the number one rated brand that they recommend. It's also the cheapest. For $88, they're like, hey, this GoWise brand is the best one you're going to find. It's the easiest to clean. It's the easiest to operate and the quietest. And I'm like,
My question for you that is it just an air fryer or is it more?
Yeah, it's just an air fryer.
Okay, but I mean, I have one that Chrissy bought me last Christmas. It's Emeril Lagasse's Instapot, and it has an air fryer. It is a sous vide, saute, steamer. I mean, it's phenomenal. It's absolutely, it's got a pressure cooker on it, and I highly recommend it.
Is it worth $1 million?
it's close. It's $149 at Sam's.
Yeah. Yeah. My mom, she told me that, her toaster died. And so she told Dan, her husband, she's like, I need a new toaster. And he's like, okay. So he went out and bought one of those. It's like the 9-in-1 type machine. Mm-hmm. He's like, I got you a new toaster. And she says, it's massive. It takes up the whole counter. And I was like, yeah. She goes, yeah, but it does so many cool things. And she starts going on and on about what it does. And I'm like, sounds like a pretty cool piece of equipment.
Sounds like she got one of the rotisserie style ones.
She got one that does all kinds of stuff. She's like, I just wanted a toaster. And I was like, well, now you've got something better. So.
And that's all I did. I wanted an air fryer, and I got even better because now I can do basically anything in this thing.
You know, the crazy part is like, I've always thought if you have the ability to get something that makes your life easier, why not give it a try? And when people came out with air fryers and they were talking about it and raving about it, I was like, I don't know. It's just another thing you got to buy. And I've not done it. The last time I went to go visit Greg, I think we were getting ready to grill something big, or he was grilling something big, and he goes, how about some wings? And I was like, you're gonna throw that on there too? He goes, no, I'll cook them in the air fryer. And I was like, what? And he tossed some wings in an air fryer, and they were perfect. And I was like, how did you do that? And it was fast. And I was like, how did you do that? And he was like, that air fryer, man, that thing's awesome. So I sort of got the bug of curiosity then. And then my grandson right now won't eat anything, but for some reason he won't eat anything but French fries. For a while it was grits. For a while it was chicken tenders. Now the thing is French fries. That's all he'll eat. So I got a bag of French fries from work as like part of a Christmas package they gave us. They gave us some different, you know, frozen stuff to take home and cook. And I was like, what am I going to do with this bag of fries? Well, my wife reached out to one of her friends who had one that she's like, I don't use this. You guys are welcome to it. And we cooked some fries in it. And those are the best fries that I've ever had.
They're not dripping in oil. No. They're crispy. They're crunchy.
It doesn't need any seasoning either. I mean, it's just perfectly crisp, every piece. She cooks it for, I hear her in there. She'll turn it on to preheat it. She puts them in, cooks it for a little while. She'll shake up the little basket and cook it for a little while longer. And then they're perfect. And I'm like, how did you do that? Like, it's always like weird science to me. I'm like, I don't know what mystery thing you just did, but keep doing it because these are delicious. And of course, he sits next to me and I'm like, hey, you need some help with your french fries? You're not going to eat these little small pieces, are you? You know, this is crunchy. You don't like the crunchy ones.
Those are the golden ones. The crispy, crunchy little bites are the gold in the plate.
So if I don't get back to work soon, I'm going to need me a Jabba the Hutt outfit because I swear I'm getting so huge. Oh, all the weight that I'd lost going keto is totally backflop now.
You're gonna be gorilla grilling and air frying.
Yeah, no doubt, no diggity, no doubt.
I saw you. You just did a pork butt the other day, apparently, didn't you?
I did. It was a 9-hour cook at 250 degrees, and it was perfect. I still have some in the fridge. As a matter of fact, I ate some last night. It's at the point now. I got to freeze the meat because it made so much. I mean, I think we had 10 adults eat off of it and there's leftovers still. So, yeah.
I envy you people who can do pork butts and enjoy them. I can't do it because Chrissy won't eat them and I'm not going to eat it by myself because that's what she works at.
Yeah.
So she has barbecue around all day. So she doesn't want to do pulled pork.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, you know, when we were younger, you worked at Taco Bell and I worked at McDonald's. And the last thing we wanted to eat was Taco Bell and McDonald's. It's like, I don't want to eat something else.
Right. No, I completely understand it. That's why I don't cook it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but I mean, I would enjoy doing one, but she just doesn't really want to do that.
And I see if you'd talk her into working for a Chinese food restaurant in an hour, she'd be hungry. So.
Well, if she had her choice, she'd be working for a Mexican restaurant.
Hey, I like that. That's good stuff.
Although she enjoyed it more when I worked at one and I would just bring her home stuff. So that way she didn't have to actually work around it.
That is kind of convenient. Interesting.
Now I work at a fondue place. So, you know.
How are you enjoying that? Like, I know that Greg and I sort of commented on it a little bit last week or the last podcast, but are you enjoying the process of.
As I told Greg in the phone, and I'll tell you here, I'm not enjoying the training process based on the fact that I'm having to go through and qualify for every position, but I understand the concept of mm-hmm. why. But I think once I'm through with all that and I'm actually into the actual management part of it, I think the job is going to be really good.
Yeah.
I think they really, they want me to be there. I want to be there. So I think it's a good combination.
I hope they understand what they're getting when they get you, because you have a commitment to this kind of stuff and a knowledge of this kind of stuff that goes beyond just your tertiary show up and be here kind of attitude. I mean, you have an ownership attitude. I mean, so I hope they understand that.
Well, I think they're starting to understand it. What was funny to me is the other front house manager, whenever I was talking with him about, you know, 2 or 3 weeks after I got the job, I explained to him that I was not a kitchen manager. He thought that I came from a kitchen management position. And I was like, no, I've been bartending for pretty much 25 years.
Yeah.
And in the restaurant business in general for over 30. And
but you've waited tables, you've AC'd.
I've done every position except for salary management.
Yeah.
But I've been out of the back of the house kitchen, which the thing is this isn't really a kitchen because it's just a prep area. Mm-hmm. As I was telling Greg, we don't have fryers. We don't have a grill. We have a microwave and we have an oven for bread, and that's it. Everything else is just unprepared and sent to the table. If for those who have never eaten fondue, you cook your own food at the table.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. I mean, it's like when I'm grilling here, it's always fun when it comes straight off the grill. Well, now you can do it at your table. So,
and after once COVID's cleared up, there is actually a grill option that they have now that you put it over top of the cooktop and it heats up and you can actually grill your food.
Yeah.
But currently we're not doing that because of COVID.
Makes sense. Well, dude, I miss seeing your face. This is kind of fun that we could Zoom. I mean, this does sort of alleviate that weird.
It gives a little bit of a relief to the itch. But no, I agree. Just like when you were telling Greg, you know, about me coming by whenever I had to go up for my grandmother's funeral and I stopped by and you were like, I don't care. I'll lick your face. I felt the same way, man. I'm like, I personally had no problem, but I just want to make sure you and, you know, Dolores felt okay. But I miss you. I miss the guys. I miss the fact that we couldn't make our trip, you know, but,
I have this time now, you know, that I can't work and I'm like, I could be spending this time visiting people, but I don't have the money to. So it's like, well, I mean, my truck probably sitting out there going, dude, what the hell, man? You haven't been out here in so long.
I'll send you a text message soon and say, I miss you.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I get the little reminder in the mail. You probably need to change your oil. I'm like, you don't know how much I'm not driven.
Well, right now, unfortunately, I only have one day off a week, and that's this day. And so I'm hoping that once we get through the training, because right now my general manager has to work. He has to be there at 10 o'clock every morning, and he doesn't leave till almost 9 o'clock every night. Mm-hmm. So what I'm hoping is once we get through all the training, that it'll be basically go down to 5 days a week for each of the managers. And that way, you know, we won't have to be there all the time, all of us.
Right.
So that's my hope. I don't know if that's the case, but
I don't know what the future of the podcast is going to be for us. I mean, we kind of were setting this up for the Monday after Mandalorian. If you want to, we could just stick to a Monday conversation.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say every single Monday on timing.
Yeah,
but I can try to every single Monday. You know, there's going to be Mondays where I have to go take the car to get it oil changed that day because it's the only day I can get to it, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But we can definitely shoot for every Monday.
Yeah,
just do double J talk.
Well, we got a lot of stuff coming up.
Go ahead.
We have a lot of stuff coming up on around Christmas time. I mean, Christmas is right around the corner. Merry Christmas to everybody listening. We have a lot of shows coming out Christmas weekend or Christmas Day. A lot of movies, a lot of TV shows, and different platforms. And so, I mean, this is the Stuff I Heard podcast. We could talk about things that we've watched, things that we've heard, things that might be interesting to somebody else. I mean, we could take a different approach from different directions, and that might be something for people to kind of enjoy a conversation about. I know that Greg is particularly anticipating watching The Running Man again, so I hope he.
Did you see the sled that I sent out?
Yes.
I was like, The Running Man is about here.
He started texting me the other night. He's like, it's really weird that we don't celebrate The Running Man more. It was actually fun. He goes, funny story. This is actually how Lane and I truly met, our true connection. And I was like, how is this not talked about more? He goes, because I just made it up. And I was like, oh, okay.
You had me for a second as well.
I was like, what?
Really?
He goes, because it's totally fabricated. I just made it up. But anyway, I was like, that's hilarious. Oh, goodness.
No, we've all got that one or two bad movies that you turn on and you just can't turn it off. If you flip through and it's on, you're like, I got to watch it. And like he said on that, he started to watch it. Next thing you know, he realized he watched the whole movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what was it recently? I watched The Croods with my son, or with my grandson, you know, and he's four. And so I'm making jokes and he's giggling and he just loves the little sloth character. Dun, 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 you know, and he's, every time they do something funny, he giggles and loves it. And I'm like, this is such a stupid movie. I love it. And now they have The Croods 2, which is out. And I'm like, oh, that looks cool. But it's like, yeah, if you pay it $20, I'm like, I'll wait. I'll just be patient. Now I'm curious about Disney Plus says that Christmas Day, the movie Soul is going to be out. And it says coming to Disney Plus. And I'm like, is this going to be like Mulan? Like it's going to be a $20 deal? Or is this one of those where it's just, hey, it's Christmas, enjoy. Cause the movie looks great. I mean, was it, Jamie Foxx, Tina Fey, there's a bunch of characters in this that it looks like an amazing movie. Donnell Rollins is in it. I mean,
I saw the preview. I haven't actually seen all the characters, but I saw the preview for it.
So I guess the story is he's like a middle school music teacher, but his dream is to become a jazz musician. And he gets an intro spot to try out, and he's like a pianist. So he goes and he has his little tryout, and apparently it's a success, and they invite him to come play at the club. And he's like, I finally made it. I'm finally making my break. And then he falls down a manhole and dies. And his soul is not ready to let go. His soul, like it's a movie about music, about soul, but it's also like the literal soul.
Soul, right.
Him going, but I'm not done. Like it's not my time. And then they find out that he's not actually dead. He's actually still alive in a hospital bed. It's like, oh, wait, I got my opportunity to go back. And they're like, you want to go back? Like it's neat because, you know, it's done by Pixar. It's done by Disney. Pixar has always done this thing where it's like, what if, like Toy Story, what if toys have feelings? You know, everything is about feelings. What if Monsters, Inc.? What if monsters had feelings? What if, like, everything is about what if, you know, XYZ had feelings? What if your soul had a feeling? What if the idea of the soul?
Well, that's where your feelings come from, I kind of believe.
Yeah. Yeah. The soul. So I think the movie is going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to it. I'm really hoping that they just release it for free because, I mean, not free, but if you're paying for Disney Plus, then you get to watch it. But I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping it's a Christmas miracle and they go, here, enjoy. Cause
well, here's my Christmas gift to you. If it's not, I can get it for you.
Thank you. This is what I wanted. I don't know. They may do a crafty job of blocking that for a while, but we'll see. We'll see.
They can't block me.
There is, there's also a movie that's coming out on Netflix with, George Clooney, Midnight Sky, I think is what it's called. Apparently he lost like 30 pounds playing this part because he got really, really sick. And he's also supposed to play a character who's emaciated because it's end of world times kind of deal. But looks very interesting. There's lots of different stuff that's being teased out there of this is also coming on Christmas. I noticed watching football yesterday that there was a lot of advertisements for game shows coming up in January. And I was like, oh, well, that makes sense because game shows are super cheap to make. I mean,
yeah,
that's one of the success, the huge success of, was it Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune? It was super cheap to make. They could film a whole season's worth in a week. And you just bring in a new audience and film another episode. And just
did you also see that now? So I guess, obviously, unfortunately, we lost Alex Trebek.
Yeah.
So now they are going to do Celebrity Wheel of Fortune, and they're moving it to primetime.
Yeah.
Because I guess nobody wants to do Celebrity Jeopardy anymore.
Yeah.
I guess Jeopardy may go away.
Well, there's been a conversation of if someone else was going to take the helm of being like the Alex Trebek type character, who would it be? And it would need to be somebody who
kind of comes a different direction.
Well, or not, or someone who's sort of is that kind of character anyway, someone who's very knowledgeable. And I've heard Chris Hardwick's name kicked around a little bit, that he may be that type of character, which is interesting because he got his start as a game show host on MTV, if you remembered Singled Out.
I remember him from a show called Attack of the Show from G4.
Yeah. That came after, I think.
That's where I remember him from first.
That's where we were first introduced to Adam Sandler. We were also introduced to Olivia Munn. We were also introduced to Jenny McCarthy. I mean,
oh no! You're talking about the MTV show.
Yeah,
Olivia Munn started on G4.
So yeah,
she started on Attack of the Show.
Right. Ooh, wouldn't it be cool to see her in the Star Wars universe?
I mean, she's already been in Marvel, so you know Disney knows.
I think. Wonder Woman.
Yes.
Christmas Day. It's going to be available on HBO Max. Thank you, Charles, for your password so I can watch that. I'm looking forward to that. Apparently, Rosario Dawson is in that as well. I just saw a tweet by her this morning.
Oh, did not know that.
Someone tweeted out, really cool to see you in Wonder Woman. She's like, thanks, babe, or something like that. I was like, wait, what? So,
Rosario's got all kinds of irons in the fire.
She's the gift that keeps on giving. God bless her.
I still enjoy her from Clerks 2 as my favorite.
God bless her.
Because sometimes, not always, but sometimes, and I'll just leave it at that.
Thanks, Mom, for watching. Love you.
That's why I didn't say it.
Okay. Let's wrap this up. Today's Monday, the 21st of December, 4 days till Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to all.
Appreciate you doing the podcast with me. And I love you, dude.
Love you too, brother. We'll definitely try to shoot for next Monday.
Yeah, we'll see.
Every Monday, if possible.
We could talk about crap we've watched that's new. I mean, I'm sure we'll have some content to talk about.
Well, there's or my dog barking at nothing. All right.
Thank you to everybody who's listened and watched on YouTube. Thank you everybody for rating, reviewing, subscribing. Please hit the like button if you haven't. It does help the podcast succeed and it lets me know that you're listening. Please comment, check out the website, www.stuffiheard.com. And if you enjoyed this, tell somebody, share it with your friends. So, that's it for now. You want to wrap it up?
Sure. Let's do it. Cue that cow.
Cue the cow.